Yesterday we turned to Acts chapter 17. Tonight I want us to go back one chapter, and I want us to go to chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And let's begin to read from verse 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. I want to leave three thoughts with you this evening as we bring the meeting to a close. Opposition, adoration, and salvation. As we look at Acts 16, we see these three thoughts. Opposition, adoration, and salvation. First of all, opposition. Whenever God is about to do a work, you can rest assured that there will be opposition. You mark my words. And there was opposition here because God was about to do a work. He was about to save that old down and out Philippian jailer. He was about to bring a soul off that old broad road and put him onto that blessed narrow road. But prior to that man's salvation, there was much opposition. By the way, as we hold this mission this week, there will be opposition. Now, you believers, I want you to be encouraged when I say that. Because sometimes we think, oh, when we hold a mission, everything's just going to go great. And everything will just go according to our plans. And everything's going to slot into place. And we're just going to see amazing things happen. And there'll be no opposition. Oh, there'll be opposition. There has been opposition already to this mission. I am convinced about that. Absolutely. Totally convinced about that. There is opposition this minute to this mission. And there will continue to be opposition to this mission. You see, wherever the gospel is preached, you can rest assured that the hosts of hell will be busy. Now, I want you to notice some things about this opposition. There was opposition from someone who seemed to be God's servant. Notice verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Here was opposition from someone who appeared to be a Christian. This girl, she was preaching in a sense. She was shouting to everybody who could hear, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Sure, that was great, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. Because she was possessed with a devil. She actually appeared to be a believer, and yet she was opposing the Lord's work. And you know, dear friends, today there are those who profess the name of Jesus, but they're actually opposing the work of God. They're opposing the work of Jesus Christ. How sad that is. People who take the name of Jesus Christ and should be doing all they can to forward the work of God. And yet, they are hindering the work of God, opposing the work of God. But the Lord, in the end, will have the victory. The Lord's plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. Now, be encouraged, Christians, tonight. God has plans and purposes for this gospel mission. He has plans and purposes for this week. And there will be opposition. We have established that. But at the end of it all, God's plans and purposes will be fulfilled. God will achieve His aim for this week. You see, before this week of mission began, the Lord had His plans and His purposes for this week. He knew exactly what He was going to do. And He will do what He has planned to do. And no amount of opposition can stop it. So that brings great comfort to me. And that should bring great comfort to Kenny as he preaches tomorrow night. The Lord has plans and purposes which no amount of devils can stop or thwart. But something else of this opposition. You see, you notice where the opposition takes place here. Read verse 19. And when our masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace, onto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our civi and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So first of all, we have this demon-possessed woman who opposes the work of the Lord. But then we have these businessmen who oppose the work of the Lord. Two groups of people coming together to try to hinder the work of the Lord. And there's even more opposition, because what happens to Paul and Silas? God's two servants are thrown into the prison. So the one thing that comes to us very clearly from this passage is opposition. And let's get back to where we started. Whenever God is about to do a work, there will be opposition. There will be people that the devil will use to try to hinder the work. But the devil's going to be disappointed, you know. The devil will always be disappointed, because God will always, he will always, every time, he will defeat the devil. He's going to defeat him this week, you know. Well, the devil's going to be defeated. You see, at the end of this week, the devil's going to leave Curry free with his tail between his legs. Opposition. Don't be surprised when the opposition comes. Expect it. You see, sometimes we think that, oh, the work of God shouldn't have opposition, and everything should just go great, and there shouldn't be any hindrances. We need to expect it. Whatever we do for Jesus, wherever we do it, at whatever church we serve the Lord, we are to expect opposition. Don't be surprised when opposition comes. Paul and Silas knew all about opposition. The early church knew all about opposition. Why shouldn't we have our opposition? You know, the one thing that encourages me is that whenever there's opposition, there's going to be blessing. That encourages me. Whenever I feel the heat of the battle, I know that the Lord's going to do something. The Lord's going to do something supernatural. Sure, way back whenever the revival came to Ulster 1859, there was opposition. There was no end to opposition. And yet the Lord broke in, and mighty things were done. So we are to expect opposition. 1 Peter 4 verse 12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Opposition. But thank God for adoration. That's the second thought that we mentioned. Adoration. Adoration. Verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Why did God save that Philippian jailer? What was it that brought it about? Well, I believe one of the reasons why God reached down and lifted that poor wretch of a sinner out of the mire of sin was as a result of two men praising. They were in the prison, and yet they were praising. You know, the people of God in Ulster have lost their praise. They have lost that heartfelt praise. And you know, dear friends, if the church in Ulster can get that heartfelt praise back again, that praise that comes from the depth of our being, if we can get it back again, I'll tell you, we're halfway to revival again, and we're halfway to the Lord doing great things. We're halfway to seeing souls saved. But we need to get the praise back again. Oh, that the Lord would help us to be like Paul and Silas. Remember when they praised the Lord? At midnight. Sure, nowadays most people would be in their beds at midnight. How many people would you find up on their knees at midnight praying or praising the Lord today? You wouldn't find too many. But I'll tell you, dear friends, whenever we get back to this sort of praising, we can expect things to happen. And by the way, whenever we get back to prayer, we can expect things to happen. Oh, whenever there are kneeling figures here and there across the land, maybe only half a dozen across the land, but God can do great things through those people praying. I talked earlier about opposition. How do you combat opposition? How do you combat Christians opposing the work of God? How do you combat unbelievers opposing the work of God? How do you do it? By prayer. We need to plead the blood. We need by prayer to claim the victory. By prayer we need to drive back the devil. We need to bind the devil by prayer. And then the victory will come. Thank God for this adoration. These two men who, though they were black and blue, and though they were bleeding, though they had been through so much, yet they prayed and sang praises unto God. Maybe I'm speaking to a believer tonight who spiritually speaking is black and blue. Do you feel black and blue spiritually tonight? Do you feel as if you've been through the wars, Christian? I remember Paul and Silas. Whenever they had come through the wars, whenever they were right down in the dumps, as it were, what did they do? They prayed and sang praises to God. What did they do when things looked bleakest? They prayed and sang praises to God. Let us follow their example. And at the end of it all, thank God there was salvation. Salvation. Verse 29, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Friend, are you asking that question tonight? What must I do to be saved? You know, that's the most important question in the world. You'll never get a more important question than that. What must I do to be saved? Notice the answer. Verse 31. And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. You see, that's the heart of the gospel. Believe. People today think that you have to do something, that it's about doing. The gospel isn't about doing, the gospel is about believing. You just believe. But in a sense, we need to make it clear that it's not just believing. Because the all-important factor is, who are you believing in? What's your faith in? There are a whole lot of people today in Ulster who have faith in their faith. Faith in their faith. Have you heard people saying to you, maybe you've gone to witness to them, you've gone to give them a gospel tract, you've gone to them to try to speak a word for the Lord to them, and they say, oh, I'm all right. I have faith. Or I have my faith. What good's faith? Faith is absolutely useless. Unless that faith
is placed in the Lord Jesus Christ.
What's your faith in tonight? Is it in Christ?
Or is it in yourself? Or is it in your church? Or is it in something else? Or maybe tonight you just have blind faith like a lot of people today. Faith's no good unless that faith clings to Christ. Are you clinging to Jesus tonight? Make sure that you're not clinging to independent Methodism. Because independent Methodism can never save you. And no other denomination can save you. Only Christ can save you. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ yet? Have you trusted Him? Have you rested totally upon His finished work, upon His shed blood, and upon His resurrection? If you have, then you have salvation. You have what this old Philippian jailer had. But maybe, dear friends, as we bring the meeting to a close tonight, there is someone in the meeting, and you know as well as the hairs on your head that you're not saved. You're not saved. You don't know what it is to be born again. Well, why not get the matter sorted out tonight? Why not turn to the Lord Jesus tonight? Why wait? Anne sung that challenging message earlier on, that this night, this meeting, could be your last call, your final call. I was at a funeral today. Brother Billy's aunt passed away. Who knows? But maybe your funeral will be next. Who knows, but maybe I'll be attending your funeral. None of us know. My funeral might be the next one, but I'm glad that I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I have no merit of my own. I have no righteousness of my own. I have nothing to plead before the throne of God when the last breath leaves my body. But I'm glad that there is one at the right hand of God who will plead for this stinking wretch of humanity, Jesus Christ. Tell me, dear friend, whenever your funeral comes round, whenever death comes to you, as it inevitably will do, will the Lord Jesus Christ plead for you? Or will He say, take him away, take her away, cast them into outer darkness, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Our prayer is that you'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, even though there is the opposition. Even though, as we speak, all hell will be trying to keep you back from Christ. Right now, this minute, 9:05, on this Monday night, you can be sure that as you sit in your seat, the devil will be saying to you, and he is saying to you right now, just wait. Wait another day or two. Wait till later on in the week. Oh, we would plead with you this evening not to do that. Get it sorted out tonight. Let's bow for prayer. Our gracious God, we praise Thee that Thou art sovereign. And we praise Thee, Lord, that Thou hast led Thy people to this spot of earth. And Thou hast planned this mission. And Lord, Thou hast purposes for this mission. And we thank Thee that Thy purposes will be fulfilled. And we praise Thee that no amount of opposition can thwart Thy purposes. Lord, Thou art mighty to save. Thou art mighty to restore the backslider. Do it even tonight, Lord, we pray. Let a new name be written down in glory. Oh, let a sinner pass from death on to life, we pray. Oh God, we pray for the sake of Jesus Christ that there will be conversions even tonight. Answer prayer, Lord, we pray. Give souls the grace to repent. Give souls the courage to come out on the Lord's side. Oh God, defeat the devil. Rout the devil this night, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.